Hi there, this is your friendly neighborhood economist. I have a show on the radio. I take economic data and theories and news from around the world and around Columbia and Greene counties and explain them to you in plain English. I'm on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m. Have a question you'd like to ask a sympathetic economist? Ask me. You can post a question on my Facebook page. Just search for your friendly neighborhood economist, my Tumblr blog, yfneconomist.tumblr.com, or email me at yfneconomist@gmail.com. I'll answer your questions on air. So tune in the second and fourth Tuesday of every month.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Rip Van Winkle Tobacco-Free Action, helping to create tobacco-free places for people to live, learn, work, and play. TobaccoFreeNYS.org.
And now, some brief news items of interest for our listeners today, Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. We will begin with reporting from Thomas Kaplan in the New York Times that in the aftermath of two New York State legislators being charged in two separate unrelated corruption scandals this month, more than 80% of voters say they believe additional lawmakers are likely to be accused of ethical wrongdoing in the near future. According to a poll by Siena College, released on Monday, voters polled had a high level of suspicion about state government. Roughly 1/3 said they believed it was likely their own state senator could be arrested on corruption charges, and about the same number of voters believed it was likely their assembly member could be arrested. More than half of voters surveyed said they were distrustful of and cynical about New York politics. Stephen A. Greenberg, a Siena pollster, said, "Clearly, the recent arrests have eroded confidence in the legislature." You can read the full story in the New York Times. Nathan Mayberg reports in the Register Star that the Columbia County supervisors are considering a policy change to allow supervisors, some elected officials, and county officials with pistol permits to carry handguns on county property. County employees are currently prohibited from carrying most weapons on county property. The County Government Committee voted on Tuesday, April 23rd, to approve the policy change. Hudson Supervisor Ed Cross was the lone dissenter. "I have mixed feelings about it," Cross said. The issue now goes to the full board for consideration. Read the full story in the Register Star. Unemployment rates fell statewide in March, according to a report released by the New York State Labor Department on Tuesday. The rates in Greene and Columbia counties followed the state trend. In Greene County, the unemployment rate was reported at 9.5%, down from 10.2% in February. In Columbia County, the jobless rate was 7.4%, down from 8.3% during the same period. The counties in New York with the lowest unemployment rate included Tompkins, Putnam, Nassau, and Rockland counties. The state reported the private sector job count increased by more than 97,000 from March 2012 to March 2013. And a reminder, nearly all of our online news sources can be accessed via links at our news page, newsroom.wgxc.org. And finally, Hudson School Superintendent Maria J. Suttmeyer has announced the creation of the Columbia Greene Partnership Academy. The academy, also known as The Bridge, will be the product of a collaboration between the Hudson City, Catskill Central, and Berkshire Union Free school districts. Suttmeyer made the announcement at the Hudson Board of Education meeting yesterday, April 23rd. Berkshire Superintendent Bruce Potter was in attendance for the announcement. According to a statement released following the meeting, The Bridge will, quote, focus on students who could benefit from more individual attention and creative approaches to learning. The alternative learning program is expected to accommodate 50 students. It will be staffed by teachers holding dual certifications in general and special education. The academy will not be housed on existing school property, but it will be located within the city of Hudson. Suttmeyer reported she is in conversation with the Galvin Foundation to secure space in one of its buildings. The program is projected to launch in September. Some sporting news. Last night saw the New York Knicks take a 2-0 lead over the Boston Celtics in their opening round NBA playoff series after delivering a convincing 87-71 thrashing at Madison Square Garden. Carmelo Anthony was dominant, leading all scorers with 34 points. The best-of-seven series will pick up again on Friday back in Boston. The Brooklyn Nets will be in Chicago for the next two games of their series against the Bulls. It is tied up one win apiece. Game 3 is on Thursday. The New York Yankees defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 yesterday in Florida, breaking a two-game losing streak. The two Eastern Division rivals will do it again tonight at 7:10. Meanwhile, the Mets took one on the chin from the visiting Los Angeles Dodgers 7-2 Tuesday, their record dropping to 500. Game 2 of the three-game set is scheduled for tonight at Citi Field. Today's weather for our little slice of the Hudson Valley. It's currently 63 degrees in Catskill after a mostly sunny, breezy, and pleasant spring day. Temperature-wise, a high of 72 degrees recorded. Winds out of the south-southwest at 11 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Sunset this evening is 7:47 p.m. The overnight forecast calls for cloudy conditions with a bit of rain followed by clearing and a low of 40 degrees. Tomorrow is April 25th. Sunrise at 6 a.m. The forecast calls for partly sunny and slightly cooler conditions, and a high of 61 degrees.
I'm Jess Burns with headlines for FSRN. As Pakistan's caretaker government prepares national elections, violence aimed at secular left-wing candidates and election workers has increased. The past 36 hours has seen 8 elections-related bombings. The Taliban is suspected to be behind the attacks. FSRN's Gabe Matthews reports from Pakistan.
Soon after Pakistan's caregiver government announced it would conduct free and fair elections, Taliban militants issued warnings to 3 left-wing parties. Over the past 2 days, violence against campaign workers has increased. There have been 8 bomb blasts in 3 provinces. 12 people are dead, and dozens have been injured. Ghulam Bulur, a ministerial candidate running as a member of the left-wing Awami National Party, lost one of his brothers in a Taliban bomb attack in December. Bulur escaped that attack, but today his election workers were once again targeted.
I am not afraid of the attacks and killings. I am deeply grieved for the young dead people and my security guard. I openly tell Taliban militants to kill me if you think that will allow you to win power and bring Sharia law. But I beg you to forgive the young people and stop killing these innocent youth.
Elections are scheduled for May 11th. I'm Sean Rang, reading for Gabe Matthews in Peshawar.
The trial of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny got underway today. The face of the Russian opposition movement stands accused of embezzling from a government agency during a timber sale. Navalny and his supporters say the charges are politically motivated. FSRN's Yekaterina Danilova reports.
The case against Navalny is a case against us. Activists chanted at demonstrations in St. Petersburg and other cities today. During the trial, Navalny said criminal allegations were brought because of his work documented corruption in state-owned companies and exposing organized election fraud by the ruling party. He also said the trial is meant to tarnish his reputation.
The most important reason the trial is happening is to create an absolutely deceitful PR campaign to be carried out by the state media. Every day you turn on your television and see a news story about the corrupt Navalny.
If found guilty, Navalny faces up to 10 years in prison. In addition, a guilty verdict would exclude him from ever running for public office. Navalny has said he would like to run for president. The court's ruling is expected in June. Other criminal cases against him are also pending. Ekaterina Danilova, FSRN, St. Petersburg.
French lawmakers have approved legislation legalizing same-sex marriage, joining New Zealand and Uruguay, who both passed similar laws this month. The French campaign surrounding the legislation has been particularly contentious, with incidents of attacks on gays and lesbians rising dramatically in the lead-up to the vote. The bill also allows gay and lesbian couples to adopt children. The Bolivian government is at the International Court of Justice in The Hague today, trying to regain territory lost to Chile more than a century ago. From Cochabamba, Bolivia, FSRN's Aldo Orellana reports.
Bolivia lost more than 400 kilometers of coastline in the War of the Pacific, which ended in 1883. As a result, the country is landlocked. The government wants the international court to declare that Chile has an obligation to negotiate an agreement in good faith that gives Bolivia sovereign access to the Pacific Ocean. Several Bolivian governments throughout history have attempted to convince their southern neighbor to return the land, but Chile has always refused. Leaders argue Bolivia accepted the loss in a 1904 treaty. Bolivia says it was forced to sign. Bolivia took the case to the International Court after President Evo Morales closed the talks with the Chilean government on the issue. Morales says all avenues of dialogue have been exhausted. For his part, Chilean President Sebastián Piñera has maintained the validity of its claim on the land. Aldo Orellana López, FSRN, Cochabamba, Bolivia.
And finally, the two Southern Californian women whose truck was shot nearly 100 times by police chasing ex-LAPD officer Christopher Dorner have settled with the department for $4.2 million. The women, who were delivering newspapers, were in the vehicle when the officers opened fire. Margie Carranza was shot in the back. Her elderly mother, Emma Hernandez, was injured slightly. Their truck was a different make, model, and color from the truck Dorner was reported to be driving. The settlement still has to be approved by the Los Angeles City Council. And that's headlines for FSRN. From Eugene, Oregon, I'm Jess Burns.
And from the Catskill Community Center in Catskill, New York, I'm Ron Diamonstein. Welcome back to the Wednesday afternoon show here on WGXC 90.7 FM, community radio in Greene and Columbia County. Normally around this time, and since we want to at least pretend that everything is normal, it's time for our carefully curated selection of upcoming events in our Hudson Valley area. Now, for today, Wednesday, as usual, perhaps you're interested in exercising your rights in our wonderful participatory democracy. Well, there are some town or village or county gatherings that you might wish to consider. For instance, in Athens, the Athens Village meeting at 7 p.m. at the community center at No. 2 First Street is happening up in Cairo. A town board meeting will be held at the town hall, which is at 512 Main Street, although someone neglected to note the time. So you might want to call them. 622-3120. Hopefully someone will be there to pick up the phone and allow you to participate in a Cairo town board meeting. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's going to start. If you got there at 6:30, you'd probably be doing okay. I'm going out on a limb, I know. Over in Columbia County, the Board of Supervisors Public Works Committee will be meeting at 6 p.m. That'll be at 401 State Street in Hudson. And in Hudson proper, for the little city there, the Common Council Public Works Committee, their meeting starts at 5:30 p.m., so you're going to have to hustle on over there. And the legal committee will begin their meeting at 6:15 p.m., and all this will be happening at the City Hall at 520 Warren Street. And in Kinderhook, a historical committee begins their meeting at 7 p.m. at the Town Hall at No. 4 Church Street in Neverville. Also tonight, a performance by the Eric Krasno Band at Club Helsinki at 405 Columbia Street in Hudson. It's an 8 p.m. curtain. You can call 518-828-4800 if you need more info. And here in Greene County, the Greene County Public Health has announced a rabies clinic, one of their they run this every so often, for county cats, dogs, and ferrets, although you do need to call ahead if you're happen to be bringing a ferret, at calling them at 518-719-3600. Now, this will be tonight from 6 through 8 p.m. at the Lexington Firehouse on Route 42. Turning to tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th, it's Dining Out for Life in Hudson Valley. It's an international event and the first Dine Out fundraiser of its kind. To date, it has raised millions for HIV/AIDS service organizations. You can dine at one of the participating restaurants, and up to 25% of your check will be donated to help Hudson Valley residents living with HIV and AIDS. For a list of participating establishments, visit www.diningoutforlife.com/Hudson Valley. Now, on Friday, an American Red Cross blood drive will be held from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Cairo Durham High School, 1301 Route 145 in Cairo. The Taconic Hills High School will perform the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical Guys and Dolls, set in the late 1930s and based on the writings of Damon Runyon. Performances begin at 7 p.m. on both Friday and Saturday evenings at the Taconic Hills Performing Arts Center, which is located at 73 County Route 11A in Craireville. At TSL, a screening of the documentary A Place at the Table In this film, directors Christy Jacobson and Laurie Silverbush examine the issue of hunger through the lens of three people who are struggling with food insecurity. The film shows us how hunger poses serious economic, social, and cultural implications for our nation. The film starts at 6:30 p.m. There will be repeat screenings on Saturday at 6 and Sunday at 4 p.m. TSL is located at 434 Columbia Street in Hudson. For further details, call 518-822-8448. A lot of stuff happening on Saturday. The Rosemary Farm Sanctuary will host their second annual Tack and Bake Sale from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the sanctuary, which is at 1646 Roses Brook Road in South Courtright. Offering everything for the horse and rider at terrific prices to benefit the horses of the Rosemary Farm Sanctuary. The Hunter Fire Company, located at 17 Bridge Street in Hunter, will hold a recruitment open house from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. The fire department will discuss the requirements to be a volunteer as well as conduct demonstrations, answer questions, and let visitors know how to get involved in the fire service on the mountaintop. Also, the Town of Lexington Fire Company, they'll be holding an open house from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the aforementioned Lexington Fire Station. And that's precisely at 3542 Route 42. Hobart, the Hobart Farmers Market annual seed sale and spring gardening events will be held at the Hobart Community Center at 80 Cornell Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Seeds are non-GMO and 100% certified organic. And a master gardener will be on site to answer questions, and local vendors will be showcasing their products. You're invited to join in at the Hudson Area Library as Peter Bergman, the director of the Edna St. Vincent Millay Society, reads a selection of poetry by this famous writer in the history room of the library. This will take place from 1 p.m. through 3 p.m. at the library at 400 State Street in Hudson. You're also invited to spend the day in Rensselaerville celebrating birds. You can learn the story of five extinct birds at the Lost Bird Project film screening and sculpture with artist Todd McCrane from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Guggenheim Auditorium at the Carey Center for Global Good, 63 Hoek Road. The Edward Nile Hoek Preserve's annual bird festival begins at 1 p.m., where you're invited to buff up your backyard birding skills with activities for the whole family. There's a live bird demonstration and bird walks for all ages going on from 1 to 5 p.m. at the research station, which is at 284 Pond Hill Road. And the folk trio, the Stray Birds, will be performing at 7 p.m. For more information, because there's a lot of stuff happening, you can call 518-797-5100. And finally, the last of Bindlestiff's three monthly winter circus cabaret performances at Club Helsinki on Saturday night. You may see internationally renowned street performers, featured acts from Cirque du Soleil and Ringling Brothers, and artists made known by America's Got Talent. Also, local legends live on stage and in the same show. Live music is a defining feature of Bindlestiff's cabaret shows, with witty original tunes by a variety of composers and accompanists. Now, those in costume or circusy style makeup can ask for a discounted ticket at the door. Show begins at 9 p.m. at 405 Columbia Street in Hudson. Again, you can always call for more information at Helsinki 518-828-4800. Okay, that's that. Remember to check our events page at wgxc.org/events for more local listings. Or if you would like to add your own event to the page and spread the word around, perhaps even have it read out loud over the airwaves by yours truly, there is a button at the top of the page to help you do just that. Okay, 18 minutes after the hour 5, hoping Vince Seeley will be showing up soon, real soon. This newer band out of the UK called Dutch Barn, just kind of discovered them a couple of days ago, really enjoying their music. This is a track called Come Down here at WGXC. We'll be right back. And that was music from the band Dutch Barn, the track Come Down, here at WGXE 90.7 FM, broadcasting today as per usual from the Catskill Community Center in lovely Catskill, New York. And I'm very happy to welcome Vince Seeley, just on time as usual, just in the right place at the right time. Vincent Seeley, Village of Catskill trustee and recently elected Greene County legislator. He's here to talk about a number of things that are happening in the village, and then we'll talk a little maybe about stuff that's kind of branching out through a little bit of Greene County. And I kind of gave him a little hint. I have a minor, small quote, gotcha type of question, and here come the children, so it's going to be a whole big party. Welcome, Vince Seeley.
Hey, thank you very much for having me back.
Okay, so you said that you had a number of things, of bits of information that you wanted to disperse amongst our listening audience.
I do.
Go right ahead.
You know, a lot of these are I'm going to tie them all together as I usually try to do, but some of them are just random thoughts that I was sitting around today knowing I was going to have this interview to speak to your listenership, and really thought these are some of the things that affect everybody's everyday life. And so first things first, you know, we continue to have this ton of good energy around, and I hope that, you know, listeners out there, if they want to get involved, that they please come out and get involved. There's a ton of places we could use your help. You know, you are the best champions of Catskill that we can find. You know, you can't hire an ad agency that could do a better job than the people that are actually in Catskill living it right now. There's some waterfront efforts going on. There's the Catskill group. There's this Cultivate Catskill planting, doing some beautiful planting things, which, you know, ultimately is a contest at the end of the year. And I know they keep wanting to play that down, but I'm a very competitive guy, so I want to win. There's no doubt about that. You know, and even they have the most improved category, so I'll take that. As long as we're a winner, I'm good. One of the main investments that I want to talk about that we're making going forward is in the town of Catskill, and I've talked to you about this on your show before about the sewer line project.
Yes.
So, you know, basically, it's going from the Village of Catskill, which we own a sewer processing plant down at the towards the boat launch, actually right at the point, and that goes all the way up to what we know as the old hospital up in Jefferson Heights. Mm-hmm. There's a big pipe that's basically ends there. The plan is to take from the end of that pipe and go all the way through to past through the town of Leeds and the hamlet of Leeds, actually, and really serve up that group of people with the sewer that they need. Now, we already have a water pipe going through there. Our reservoir is actually up in the Coxsackie area, and it comes down right through there. So they're served with our water already. What the sewer line project is going to do is a couple things. One, you know, there's already some difficulties in the hamlet of Leeds with their sewer overflow. Some of it was actually going into the creek and providing creating an environmental hazard.
Yeah,
we want to fix that. We want to, you know, that's our primary goal of this. But the fact of the matter is, this sewer line going right past our thruway exchange is going to be an unbelievable economic boom for us up there. You know, you take a small restaurant. I won't name the restaurant up there, but there's only one. The small restaurant up there, I was talking to them within the past 6 months to a year, and you know, they spent about $150,000 on their sewer system, on their septic system, to connect into our network once we have that pipe going through there. You know, maybe it's a $10,000 effort, and that's, I'm estimating right now. I don't have all the final numbers, okay, but it's that much of a difference. It's going to be that much of a difference, 150 versus 10, which makes the entry level for businesses up there that are building, you know, going to put up a new building or to expand their business.
Right, commercial opportunity.
Yeah, commercial opportunity. It makes it just, it brings that entry point down lower. And plus, with a sewer line and a water line, your density can go up. Right now in the town, there's a 1.5 acre building lot provision. So basically, okay, you have to have 1.5 acres to build on there. And primarily that's because you want to have a leach field, and there's some engineering thought process there that I'm sure equals the 1.5 acres.
Right.
But okay, I think what'll happen over time is in the town, and this is up to the, you know, the town fathers to decide, but you'll be able to kind of squeeze that in and maybe get some different types of commercial and residential up in that area. And how all of this ties into the county, one of the big efforts the county's putting together is this tourism advisory committee. They have this committee going on, and you know, it's looking to how are we going to bring people to Greene County as tourists. Up the mountain, there's zip lines. I mean, we could go on for half an hour here, all the different things there are to do and going to be to do. But how do we monopolize on that? And how do we not duplicate efforts? We don't want to create the same thing that Saugerties has at their three-way exchange. We know up in New Baltimore, which right off of Coxsackie, they're thinking about that water park. So we don't want a water park down here. So right. It's really a strategy in laying it all out and saying, what is the best fit for Exit 21? And how does that fit into the rest of Greene County? And I think that, you know, feedback from the listeners and feedback from the public in general is going to help us really start making some decisions there when this when that real estate up there starts to pop.
Okay.
Next area I want to cover is the waterfront. Which is
the prime jewel.
Prime
I think,
jewel, yeah, absolutely. We've got the Catskill Creek, and it's going right into the Hudson River. So, you know, our primary focus right now is the creek. It's right here, right on the other side of Main Street. You know, those of you that are around here know that it needs a little help from the perspective of it needs a little upgrading. We should have a boardwalk. We should be taking advantage of this asset that we have. You'll be happy to know that, you know, from 2008 to today, and believe me, more than anybody, that kills me that things take that long. But it's the engine of government. It's the engine of getting grants and getting help for this and doing the engineering studies. But, you know, there's a part of me that understands you got to do it right the first time because you really only have one shot at it. So one of the exciting things that's we're in the running for right now is continuing to fix up the superstructure on what we call the Black Bridge, the old railroad trestle.
Yes.
We fixed up the substructure, and you and I have talked about that
many
your show.
Times, actually.
And that's
yes.
actually, you know, you could, you know, I joke around, I say you could land a helicopter on it, or you could drive a train over it, literally, right now. It's that fixed up. But the superstructure, the top part of it, still needs.